Welcome to Ambleside Flourish, brought to you by Ambleside Schools International. This is our four-part series on bringing up joyful children with Dr. Bill St. Cyr, Executive Director of Ambleside Schools International, hosted by Ambleside Schools of Colorado. Part one, the definition of joy.
Bringing up joyful children. And so I said, okay, that'll work. I can do that. It would help, I think, if we began with a definition of what joy is. And I was asking myself, how can I best communicate to you what joy is? Joy is when I'm in my, when I'm my true self, and I am with Mary Ellen, and she goes bright-faced. And when she goes bright-faced at me being with her, which makes me go bright-faced. Now, we've got a lot of, like you, we have a lot of stressors in our lives. We're very busy. And sometimes we don't do the things that we need to do to make that happen as much as it ought to happen. Let me give you another image. This August, I was visiting my parents, right? I was born when my parents were 18 and 19. So they're 78 and 79 now. And I'm the oldest of a dozen children. And I was visiting Mom and Dad. And Mom's about 5'1 and about 90 pounds. Dad's about 5'10, 5'11. And he's still an adjunct professor of engineering at the University of New Orleans. So he was headed off to work. He teaches a couple days a week. And he was going to say goodbye to Mom. So he walks up. Now this is my almost 80-year-old parents. And he goes bright-faced. And he leans over to kiss my mother goodbye. And she goes up on her tippy toes and leans back and smiles brightly and kisses my father. They both go bright-faced after 60 years of marriage. Now that's something to aspire to. And that's what joy is. You see, if you wanted to define it, joy is that embodied experience. There are certain things that are happening in our body, principally in our brain, when we're experiencing joy. And everything about us says, it's good to be me here with you. That's what joy, it's good to be me here with you. And that's what when a mother's holding a baby, right? And she leans down and she smiles a little bit, the baby smiles. And they play the joy game, because they're joy building. And she smiles brighter, and he smiles brighter. And pretty soon he goes, wee, and look away, because it's more joy than he can handle. It's good, an embodied experience. It's good to be me here with you, Mom. That, to a preverbal infant, what joy is Mom's beaming face saying it's good to be me here with you. Joy is actually what we've been made for. Yeah, I counted up one time, the number of times just in the New Testament that the Greek word of joy appears or some form of it, and it's, you know, I can't remember exactly, something like 168 times. So it's a major New Testament thing. It's interesting that joy and grace are etymologically related. Joy, the Greek word for joy is chara, chi, alpha, rho, alpha. The Greek word for grace is charis, chi, alpha, rho, iota, sigma. Notice the same root, char, chi, alpha, rho. Joy and grace both the same root. One with, I think it's the first declension feminine, the other with the third declension feminine ending. So different ending, same root. Because what is grace but my unconditional commitment to your well-being? When Christ acts graciously to us, he establishes our well-being regardless of the personal cost. And to experience grace is to know joy, because our well-being has been established by another who's bonded with us and cares deeply for us. So when we really get grace, our experience is to be joy, because he is so committed to our well-being that he's given us all for us. And therefore, it's good to be me here with you, right? He holds me. So, you know, take my cloak, I can give you my coat, it's not a problem. Slap me on the right, I can turn the left, it's not a problem, right? Because he loves me and he holds me. Force me to go a mile, I can go 2 miles, not a problem. Because he holds me. My well-being is secure. My well-being is established. That's what joy is. That's what joy. Now, the thing about joy, I should write, joy and peace are cousins. Joy is, it's good to be me here with you at a high energy state. Peace is, it's good to be me here with you at a low energy state. Biologically, because the way we're made, we can't sustain a high energy state. Yet there are certain neurotransmitters that get used up. So ideally, if the Holy Spirit reigned perfectly in our lives, we would be moving from joy to peace, high energy to low energy, quiet times, times of excitement and being together. And we'd have this wave of joy, peace. Wouldn't that be lovely? Wouldn't that be lovely? Now, it is, I think at this point, important to contrast joy with happiness. And happiness is a word that gets thrown out there, and it can have many definitions, but I'm going to define it in a certain way to kind of contrast it with joy. See, the way I'm going to define happiness is a function of immediate experience. So something has happened in my environment, and I respond with a kind of energized delight. That's a good thing. I mean, there are times when something happens in our around us that delights us in an energized way. The problem is when it becomes a joy substitute. You see, joy is a function of character. I mean, if you would have bumped into Mother Teresa in a loving, kind, gentle way, what would you have gotten? Love, joy, and peace. But if you had bumped into her in an anxious, angry, frustrated way, what would you have gotten? Love, joy, and peace, right? Because it was a function of character, a fruit of the Spirit. You see, biblically, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is a fruit of certain circumstances, which may or may not be there. Let me give you an example, and I'll talk more about this later. About 13 years ago, a dear friend of mine was dying of brain cancer. And he had three children that were five and under. And I flew up to Washington and went to the hospital to visit him. Now I'm in the hospital, he's dying with brain cancer, and we both know this is the last time this side of glory we're gonna see each other. And we spent a couple hours together. And we laughed and told stories and we cried and we, you know, that, could you believe that that was a very sad time? I mean, this is my dear friend dying and leaving his wife and three young children. That's a very sad, but could I tell you it was very joyful? You see, like happiness and sadness don't go together. But joy can function quite well in the midst of sadness. In the midst of anger, if you would believe it. In the midst of shame. Now, all of these things take a certain level of psychosocial maturity and spiritual maturity. We'll talk about that in a bit. But it was a joyful time because it was good to be me there with him. Would not have wanted to be anywhere else than with my brother who's dying of brain cancer. And though we could grieve together, wouldn't want to be anywhere else. See, joy is, it's good to be me here with you. It's not a function of circumstances. Now, there are certain circumstances that tend to kill our joy. But that's really a function of our own immaturity. When circumstances kill our joy, that's a function of our own immaturity. Because biblically, love, joy, and peace are fruits of the what? The Spirit, which means they're not a function of circumstance. So Paul could say something astounding like, count it all joy when you experience various tribulations, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance, endurance proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of Christ has been poured forth in our hearts. He does not say that about happiness. So the first thing we have to get absolutely clear in our minds is the distinction between joy and happiness, because we live in a culture that pursues happiness, pursues a certain set of external circumstances that will make for an energized state of delight, as opposed to joy, which is a function of character, and it's good to be me here with you. And unfortunately, when we pursue happiness, or when we seek happiness for our children, we often undermine their capacity for joy. When we communicate that what it's about is your external circumstances being pleasing to you such that you can have a high energy delight, then we make their experience a function of their circumstance, which we can never control. As opposed to if we could figure out how to build a joyful character that would function in the presence of any kinds of circumstances. Now, one thinks of Paul. So, you know, they're singing my praises. Great, I'm filled with joy. They're throwing me in prison. Joy. It is good to be me here with you, in light of Christ, regardless of the circumstances. Now, very few of us are there, but, I mean, if we would believe it, we could aspire to it and make progress, and we could actually aspire to that for our children. You know, in this culture, ask most parents, what do you want for your children? what do they say? I want them to be happy. Now that's well-intended, but short-sighted. Very different to say, I want them to be marked by the love, joy, and peace of Christ. You see the difference between those two?
Ambleside Schools International fosters an educational renewal based upon the pedagogical insights of British educator Charlotte Mason. Serving an international community of parents, teachers, and schools, Ambleside makes a living education accessible to all. A living education empowers students to live lives rich in relationship to God, self, others, ideas, work, and creation. For additional information regarding Ambleside Schools International and training opportunities for principals, teachers, and parents, please visit our website at ambleside schools.com.